Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. So this week on the podcast, we are talking about alcohol. Yes, alcohol. You might be listening to this and being like, no, Kezia, I don't want to know. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to assess my relationship with alcohol. I don't want to know what you have to say. If that's the case, then I encourage you to listen in. Recently, I've just decided to take a break from drinking all alcohol. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about why that is. I'm going to do some myth busting around, is alcohol, any alcohol actually good for you? Is there any health benefits to it? I'm going to look at how do we assess our relationship with alcohol, and then also talk about a couple of practical strategies that you can do if you are choosing to drink alcohol that can help you have this more mindful and intuitive approach to drinking. So that's what we're talking about in this episode. It's a good one. It's juicy. And before we dive in, there's a couple of things I want to let you know about. I have on the 3rd of March, the Adrenal and Thyroid Summit starting. So if you are looking to know how you can naturally support your energy and your thyroid and your adrenals, then join me in the summit. It's free. It's going to be 3 in-depth workshops over 3 days from the 3rd to the 5th of March, where basically, you're going to leave with a clear 3-month blueprint of how you can support your energy. You're going to learn what your thyroid has to do with it, what tests you can do if you know you have a thyroid issue, what you can do to optimize your energy production, whether you're on medication or not. We're going to talk a little bit about what is often termed as adrenal fatigue, what that means, how you can test for that, what you can do, what to eat, what healthy habits could be making it worse, what you can eat more of to help. All of that stuff is going to be super practical. It's going to be 3 workshops where I do in-depth training on this. So if you are struggling with your energy, if you know or suspect you might have a thyroid issue, or you just want to know more information about that or about this term that you've maybe read called adrenal fatigue, then this is the workshop for you. You can head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/summit, or head to the show notes. You can see there. Or if you just head to keziahall.com, same, all take you to the same place. You'll see summit on the menu tab at the top, and you can just click on that and join. Make sure you get yourself signed up. I'm going to be sending out a workbook and a couple of other goodies as well. So I'm really excited about that. It's going to be fun. I love talking about thyroid. And actually, just last night, I was chatting with a client, and we ran some private thyroid tests with her because I've been working with her for a little while. She eats really well. She's really mindful. She's does lots of yoga, has a good relationship with food. But I was just feeling like she's really struggling, really tired. Really, she was still recovering from having a baby. So I was like, let's run a thyroid test with you. And then we went through those results last night, and it turns out her thyroid antibodies were sky high. Her TSH was out of even the standard reference range. Her iron levels were low. And I was just, after the call with her, I was like, this is one of the reasons I do what I do. So many women, so many of you are walking around feeling like crap, wading through treacle, feeling tired. When anyone asks you how you're doing, you're like, oh, I'm tired. I'm just really tired. I'm just busy. Or your brain, it feels foggy, just struggling. You wake up maybe feeling tired, or by the afternoon, you just really need a nap. And we've kind of been conditioned to think that that's normal, or we just kind of plow on regardless because, you know, how we feel doesn't matter, does it, ladies? Which is such crap. And the reason I do what I do is I want women to know that they can feel better. And by running these tests, by getting some data and information, what this client was like, oh, that's why I'm feeling rubbish. And I was like, yeah, your thyroid antibodies are sky high. Your TSH level is not optimal. Your iron levels are low. That is why you feel rubbish. And actually, when you're empowered with this information, when you educate yourself, you can then take specific action that's going to help you to feel better faster. And that's why I've worked with so many clients where this has been the case, where they've come to me, they have been told all their test results are normal, things are totally fine, they're feeling a bit stuck. They wonder if it's, to be honest, all on their head, or if they just need to go on antidepressants, or maybe to increase their dose of antidepressants that they may already be on. And then when we look together, we actually do detective work and we discover there's some real biochemical things happening. And when you know that information, when you can get that data, you can start to feel better. So there's another client last year who we'll just call, for the sake of this, Susan. And she came to me really struggling, had been pretty healthy most of her life, had made some good dietary changes, reduced her sugar intake, was gluten-free, had felt better, but was still struggling. We did some more kind of tests, discovered that her thyroid antibodies were elevated. There was a couple of issues going on with her B vitamins. And so then we could create a really specific personalized protocol over several months to help her get her energy back. And now 6 months later, she's feeling so much better because she got that information. She knew she wasn't crazy and could then go to a doctor's, go and work with an endocrinologist, you know, all of those different options. But anyway, it's just amazing. Listening, learning to listen to your body, gathering data is so important. So join me in the thyroid and the Adrenal and Thyroid Health Summit. Also, if you want to work with me, I've got a couple of spaces left. I'm probably nearly fully booked for the next couple of months, but I've got about 2 spaces left. So I would love to chat to you. If you're like, you know what, Kezia, I'm so done with trying to figure this out on my own. I really want to see results. I'm really ready to invest in myself and to see change and to feel good. Then I am your girl. Head over to keziahall.com, click the Work With Me page, book in your call, and we can just chat about what's going to work. I am confident that if you're the right fit, I can help you within 3 months, 100%. I've seen it with hundreds of men and women that I've worked with. There's something so powerful about just dedicating time to heal your body so that you can get your energy back. You can wake up feeling refreshed. You can enjoy getting dressed. You can feel really confident about what you're eating. And it affects how you show up in life completely. So anyway, join me in the summit. Or go over and book your call to work with me. There's a couple of spaces left before I'm fully booked and we'll start a waiting list. And I would love to work with you. I know I can help. If you're feeling stuck, then I'd love to help you to get unstuck because that is totally possible for you. But anyway, let's get on and talk about alcohol. Ooh. Alcohol. I bet you want to know what I think about that. I feel like I get asked about alcohol a lot. And often people ask the question about alcohol when they actually already know the answer. They're just kind of hoping that I'll give them a different answer. So in this episode, I'm talking all about just how alcohol can affect your body. And what I really want to look at is just really encourage you actually to ask the question of maybe why you're drinking. So this has recently come about because just literally in the last probably month or so, probably like a week into January, I just realized, you know what? I'm just going to stop drinking for a while. Now, I am not saying that's me forever. I don't know. I don't. I'm a bit of a rebel in my tendencies, so I will do whatever I want to do. But it just really came to the point where I was like, you know what? I think I actually just need to stop drinking for a while, give myself a bit of space. And that's why I want to record this episode and just explain that kind of thought process and how I got to that point, explain a little bit of the history, and really just encourage you in this episode just to assess and think about your relationship with alcohol. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover just the how kind of alcohol affects the body. And then primarily, actually, I'm going to look at more of the relationship that we have with alcohol and just encourage you to maybe ask yourself some of the questions that I've recently asked myself. So I'll give you a bit of a background of my relationship with alcohol. So I actually have never been a big drinker. I didn't really drink alcohol properly until probably my early mid-20s when I was at university. So from like 17 to 19, I didn't drink at all. It was just easier for me. Also, I was super skint working 3 jobs. I couldn't really afford in my head to drink alcohol. It felt like I didn't have that 20 quid to go and spend at the university student union. So I didn't. I needed to pay my rent. Also growing up, my parents have drank, but it wasn't, I haven't had this history of excess alcohol as a teenager. I didn't like the idea of being out of control. I didn't feel like it was something that was going to help me, excess drinking. Now, I think some of that was probably coming from a place of real control and not wanting to be out of control and try new things and probably judgment of other people. So I'm not sure all of that was healthy in terms of growing up. But equally, I'm really grateful. I did drink a little bit as a teenager. There was some underage drinking. Like I used to go out clubbing because I've always looked old. So I started going out clubbing when I was 14. A friend of mine's dad used to actually own one of the companies that ran all the bouncers to a lot of the clubs. So I was out like clubbing and I would drink. I'd have like a vodka and Coke. But to be honest, I didn't really even like it. Like I just didn't like alcohol that much. And I would always only drink about 2 drinks because I was just aware that it could make me vulnerable, to be honest. And my parents trusted me and we kind of had an agreement. I think they knew I'm a bit of a rebel. So they never said to me, Kezia, don't you dare drink. Don't you dare go out. Don't you know you're only 14? Which now as a parent, if my son or if I have a daughter in the future is like, Mom, I'm going out to the clubs at 14. I'd be like, what the flip? But I think they knew, bless them, they're wise. They knew that if they told me not to do it, then you sure as hell bet I'm going to go and do it. So I think that was provided a good platform. Anyway, so I didn't really drink. Drank a little bit teenagers, like at a party. I might have a drink. But by the time I was at university, I realized the whole conversation of, oh, I'm only having one drink. I'm not getting drunk was just too annoying. People would just didn't understand that I only want to have one drink and not get really drunk. So I just was like, you know what? Money-wise, explanation-wise, I just don't drink. And then it was only kind of in my sort of 20s, I moved home for about 9 months after uni and my dad's really into nice wine and he's really into whiskey. And we had a couple of family holidays in South Africa where we did wine tasting. And so to be honest, it was my dad that really educated me in alcohol, wine tasting, went to whiskeys and distilleries. And that's kind of where I developed a taste. But I say all of this because I've not had a big history with alcohol. So I'm not coming to this from a place of excess drinking, which people might expect if they say, oh, I'm just going to stop drinking. It's because they've actually maybe have a history of binge drinking and all of that stuff. But I actually don't. So that might make me less relatable, but it's just my honest path and journey. And then it's only really in the last 10 years, I'm 32 now, that I've drank more. I lived in Italy for a while. So there was loads of awesome cheap Prosecco. Like it was cheaper to drink wine in Venice and Florence where I lived for 6 months than it was to drink water if you're eating out. And it was so much fun. And then I like whiskey and just drank more. But I would probably say I never would drink more than 1 or 2 drinks in one sitting. And I have always been very mindful to just drink at most once a week, but not even that much. So I've always been aware of my relationship with alcohol. But why stop? Because you might be thinking, Kezia, you hardly drink at all. Why stop and why is this a big deal? So there's a couple of things. Let's first look at some of the nutritional approach to it. So I'm a holistic nutritionist. Health benefits. Is there any health benefits to drinking alcohol? There's lots of stuff out there about some red wine every day can be really helpful from a specific antioxidant called resveratrol that is contained within it that research has shown is really helpful. So some people are like, oh, well, alcohol helps with this. Or if you look at things like Blue Zone diet, so people that live over to be 100, your centenarians, a lot of them actually do drink daily. So people often think, oh, there can be this, to be honest, myth that goes along that drinking alcohol is good for you or has some health benefits. Now, as far as I can see, and I might be wrong on this because I don't, you know, I'm not sitting every day looking at the latest research. Drinking alcohol, from what I can tell, has no benefit to it, no health benefit to it whatsoever. It can imbalance your blood sugar because it's just a form of sugar, a kind of a sugar alcohol. It adds a whole other layer of burden onto your liver, and liver disease is something that is on the rise, that people can find themselves in a position of having liver issues or liver disease because of maybe a 20s or teenage years of lots of binge drinking. So that's a reality. So just to clear up, drinking wine every night, it's not benefiting you. There's no health benefit from a weight, an energy, a prevention, a blood sugar. There's no aspect where drinking alcohol regularly is helpful to your health. I just want to make that clear that, again, that's kind of my opinion from looking at the research. And the reason I say that, you might be like, well, because there is research to say that there's substances in wine that can be helpful. So that is true. So you have something called resveratrol, which is a really brilliant antioxidant that is present in especially red wine. But the amount of resveratrol that you would need in order to get the benefit that we know from research, the amount of alcohol you need to get, to drink to get the benefit of that specific antioxidant is phenomenal. You need to drink tons of alcohol in order to get the level of resveratrol that you would need, which is why I personally supplement with resveratrol because it's also helpful for your blood sugars. So there is research that the resveratrol in wine is beneficial, but the amount that you need to have that benefit means you would need to drink so more wine than what we know from research is beneficial, if that makes sense. So just to clarify that, so there's that wine aspect. And then also more traditionally, like I live in Scotland, so we might have something more of a hot toddy when you're ill, which might be like honey, lemon, a bit of whiskey, that kind of thing. I do think there's probably a small medicinal aspect from alcohol in terms of cleansing your throat. And I know that alcohol has historically been a part of our culture for a long time, so I'm not negating that. The herbal tinctures that I take are often alcohol-based. I've made my own elderberry syrup, elderberry tincture. You know, there's that alcohol aspect. There's a very small amount of alcohol potentially in kombucha, and that has lots of health benefits. So I understand that alcohol is the process, is the end result of fermentation, and that can be a good thing. But there is a bit of a, from my opinion, idea going around. We often, to be honest, we know alcohol isn't great for us because if you drink alcohol, you often feel rubbish the next day. But we try to fool ourselves into thinking, oh, there's maybe some health benefits to it. So I just want to put it out there, there isn't. Like in terms of, if you look at the centenarians, often the research shows they do drink alcohol, but they're not living to 100 because they drink alcohol necessarily. It's because of maybe the other practices of community, healthy fats, not having inflammatory foods that outweigh the fact, if that makes sense. Now, I'm not saying this because I don't intend on being teetotal for the rest of my life. This is just for a period of time. I do enjoy using alcohol as a way to celebrate, and I do love whiskey. I love a hot toddy when I have a cold, and I love a good single malt. I do enjoy wine. So this isn't to say I'm probably never going to drink again, but I really want to record this episode just because I'm reassessing this relationship. And I also want to just bust some myths and maybe share with you some kind of practical habits and processes around alcohol. So first myth, alcohol is of no real benefit to you in the traditional sense of vodka, Diet Coke and Red Bull with rum, wine, cider, beer. In the traditional sense that we have in our culture right now, none of that is really doing you any good. Wine is very mass produced. If you're having like homemade wine that's traditionally made without all the additives, then you might get some benefits from it. But from the general, go to the shop, pick up some wine, pick up some beer, pick up some rum, pick up some vodka, none of that is really doing you any good. And that is something you probably don't want to hear. I mean, I don't. You know, you're a bit like, ugh, feel free to curse my name. Feel free to swear at me. It's fine. But I just want to put that out there. So if you are looking to improve your health in any way, whether through weight loss, sort out your hormones, support your gut health so you can get rid of IBS, deal with a more, severe health issue, alcohol is probably not going to help you along the way, just from what we know from research. So that is worth pointing out. Also, alcohol, I think, is shocking in this country and most other kind of Western countries, is that it's the only kind of beverage and food that doesn't need ingredients. So you buy a brand name of wine, there is going to be tons tons of crap in that because it, by law, does not have to say what is in it. In the wine that you have, it can have coloring, sugar, sulfates, all these things added to it because wine, they want, a brand wants wine to taste the same across the board. They want that consistency. If you pick up a bottle of Jacob's Creek, that same Jacob's Creek tastes the same. But the whole point of wine is that every harvest and every season, it's going to taste slightly differently. So what they have to do is add lots of chemicals, flavoring, sugar, these kinds of different things to make that taste consistent across the board in order to make big business. So one of the tips is if you are going to drink wine, especially, go for as small producing as possible. Make sure it's organic. Go for the small places to buy it, not these mass produced things, because you can ensure a higher quality of wine with less crap added to it than these bigger brands, which in order to make money and to be a business have to make sure that every bottle of wine tastes the same. But that's just not how the process of fermentation happens. That's just like if you've ever made kombucha or ever made sauerkraut, not every batch tastes the same. And it's the same with any kind of alcoholic kind of fermentation process. So that's a little bit of myth busting. Oh, that was hard to say, guys. And I've had a caffeinated coffee this morning. Jeez, so. Okay, so let's look at the mindset. Now, the reason primarily I decided to just stop drinking alcohol for a while, for an undisclosed period of time, whatever it is partly that, partly because I have been training for a half marathon and I think I had a small glass of wine one Saturday night and then I woke up the next day to train and I just needed to do a long run. I was going to do a 10K and I felt rough and I partly knew that it was the wine. I knew it wasn't doing me any favors and I just thought, why am I doing this to myself? Like, this doesn't make me feel good. So I thought, why am I drinking it? The next day, it doesn't make me feel good, even with a small amount. It's not helping me train. It doesn't make me feel strong. It actually makes me feel weak and tired. So why am I doing this to myself? And that's a question to think. And for some of you listening, you might be like, no, I feel fine, Kezia. If you feel fine after drinking alcohol, great. Then the question to ask yourself is, how would you feel if you stopped drinking? And see what the response is. Because I've had this conversation with lots of clients where they come and they're maybe having a couple of glasses of wine every night, which actually adds up quite a lot. And they think in their heads they only drink at the weekends, but in reality, their weekend starts on Thursday. So they're actually drinking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they have wine open on Monday, so they don't want to waste it, so they drink it then. So they're actually drinking 5 days of the week. How would you feel if you stopped drinking? Or if I asked you to stop drinking alcohol, what response do you have in your body? Because for a lot of people, it's quite an emotional response. There's this idea of, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. Oh, it'd be too hard. No, there's no way I could do that. There's quite an emotional response. And primarily with alcohol, the reason I stopped was primarily the emotions. I realized that for me, there's a lot of stuff going on in my personal life and in my mind and things I'm processing right now. And that for me, it would be so easy right now to use alcohol as a way to de-stress, as a way to unwind, and ultimately as a way to numb the things that I'm feeling. And I would hazard a guess that a lot of the time when we drink, it's to numb the way that we feel. It's a way to relax and to feel relaxed. And it's also probably a way of fitting in social situations. And when you look at those things, and you ask yourself, and which is what I did recently, I asked myself, is that how I want to live my life? Do I want to live my life using substances that we know are poisonous to the body? Alcohol is a poisonous substance, but we have a culture where it's permissible in small amounts for some reason. But you're also asked to self-manage this poisonous drug. Alcohol is a form of drug. Which is weird. That's a whole other conversation topic. And I'll link to actually a couple of great podcasts that Kate Northrup did, two podcasts on alcohol that really, really helped me in this process. That's all around this culture around drinking. So I highly recommend if you're interested in this topic, listen to those podcasts. I will link to them in the show notes. Just around sobriety and drinking and those kinds of things. But if we have this, do I want to live my life trying to only being able to relax if I drink alcohol, because I can't do that on my own, which is weird. That's a sign my nervous system is too tightly strung. Do I want to live my life trying to numb the way that I feel with alcohol? And if so, why? Why is that? And do I want to be reliant kind of on this drug in order to relax at the weekend? Or like just, I just really started to look at that relationship. Now, I didn't drink a lot. I don't drink a lot. But I just looked at that and I realized that was quite weird. And it was like an area of my life that just needed a little bit of attention. So for me at the moment, there's lots of stuff that I'm working through in therapy that's really hard. And I really would love to numb out. And I know that I can. It's my choice. I could numb out on drinking alcohol, on food, on exercising too much, on scrolling on Instagram. But actually, I really want to feel free in my life. And the way that we get to that freedom and the way that we create lasting, robust, holistic, vibrant health is by feeling our feelings. You've got to feel in order to heal. And so often I talk about feelings like digestion. So when I talk about digestion, you need to digest the food that you are eating properly. Otherwise, it's going to cause inflammation and a whole lot of issues. And a lot of your problems, bloating, thyroid issues, energy is probably down to poor digestion from a very practical perspective. But it's the same with our emotions. Now, I'm no therapist, but what I know from my own experience is that I have not digested the experiences and the things that I feel in my life. And so they have caused, let's just say, a form of inflammation in my physical body and in how my brain works. So for me, I realized that alcohol can be a way where I check out of life, where I treat myself, where I numb out, and as a way of relaxing, because personally, the way my mind has worked, the anxiety I've experienced from a very young age, I really have struggled to relax my mind. It's like there's a friggin' monkey circus that goes on in my mind all the time. Always thinking of lists, always thinking of things, always problem solving, always working, always checking box, like always thinking. And when I would drink alcohol, it would just kind of numb that noise down a little bit, just dull it, make my brain less go, 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 and it would help me to relax. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if the only way I can calm my mind down and relax is through drinking alcohol, that is a big problem. It's like when I'm chatting to clients that are big binge eaters. If the only way you have to deal with uncomfortable emotions of stress, loneliness, grief is through eating, you're in big trouble. It's not that eating to deal with emotions is bad. It's not even that drinking to help with emotions is bad, but it cannot be one of the only ways that you can deal with emotions. And often it's not dealing with emotions, it's ignoring them and numbing them. So then you're not digesting it. You drink alcohol and it just dulls the noise. It doesn't deal with the noise. When you binge eat on sugar, you're just numbing that emotion that you feel. You're not dealing with that emotion. And if I want to be healthy and free, which is one of my main goals in life, I know the healthier and stronger I am, the more impact I can have in the world, the better I can parent, the better I can love the people around me, then alcohol kind of is dulling who I am down. It's making me less. It's not making me more in the way that I've been using it. Now, you might have a different relationship with alcohol and that's totally fine. But from my experience, I realized, I was like, oh, alcohol is actually, the way I'm using it is to deal with discomfort. It's to deal with stress, but it's actually in the bigger picture, making me dull. You know, like it's dulling who I am down, who I really am. It makes me slightly less than it because it's kind of controlling how I feel. It's dulling that down. Does that make sense? I kind of, in terms of the metaphor, I felt like me drinking alcohol is a way of me fitting in. It's a way of me being not weird, people not noticing. It's a way of me just holding back who I am, how I really feel, what's really going on inside my emotions in order to be acceptable to other people. Does that make sense? Now, for you, your relationship with alcohol might be totally different, but I really hope this episode, and I'm recording it to encourage you to just think and ask yourself some questions. Okay, how do you feel if I were to say to you, okay, I want you to stop drinking for 6 months? What comes up in you? what comes up? Is there a sense of entitlement? Well, that's rubbish. I should be able to drink. Is it a sense of I could never do that? Is there a sense of pity? What comes up? And then ask yourself the question of why do you drink? Because if there's no health benefits to you, if it's actually detrimental to your health, and it's also expensive, why do you drink? Now, that is you, those are your questions, and your response is unique to you. So I'm not telling everyone here, not everyone listening to this is not necessarily going to stop drinking, but it's really worth looking at. How do you react if I were to ask you to stop drinking for 6 months? And why do you drink? Is it because you're trying to make other people happy and be socially acceptable? Is it because it's a way to de-stress? Is it because it's one of your few treats in life, in which case you need more treats? Is it because it's a way of numbing out those uncomfortable feelings? You had a horrible day at work. Work is really crazy. Kids are screaming. Just pour a glass of wine and your mind goes, ah. Which it does. That's alcohol's a drug. It does have that effect. Why is it that you drink? And I'll just ask you, journal out, think about, if you'd listen to this in the car, you're at the gym, you're walking the dog, you're making dinner, just think about it. I just want you to ask those questions. I'm not telling you what your response should be, but if you are being honest with yourself, give yourself an honest answer to those questions. What comes up if I say to you, I think you should stop drinking for 6 months, and the question of why do you drink? So go away, ask yourself those questions. And in terms of, you might be thinking, oh, well, Kezia, actually, I feel like I have assessed my relationship with alcohol. I've been through what you're going through. I'm kind of out the other side. I feel good. I feel at peace. I feel aligned. I feel empowered. My relationship with alcohol is one of empowerment, of peace, of joy. But I would love to know some more strategies on how to make drinking a bit more healthy. Like what are the healthy alcoholic drinks, those kind of things. So in terms of some practical support, I often say to clients that your best, when it comes to alcohol, you want to avoid any additional sugar. So mixers, rum and Coke, those kind of things, orange juice. You want to try and go avoid those as much as possible because you're just adding more sugar to the mix. The next thing is all about quality. A lot, it's the same with food actually. You want to make sure if you're drinking, say, wine regularly, that you go for as high a quality as possible, ideally biodynamic, organic wine from small kind of farms. I've bought cases of wine before from those places that have less sulfites or organic, those kinds of things. So you really want to make organic a minimum, and then ideally find small batch vineyards that are using more traditional processes to make their wine and going along with that. So that's that. I think wine is probably maybe one of the better options, or it's spirits. So I like whiskey. Maybe you like vodka. If you're going to have those, have them neat. So I love a dram of whiskey and I'll make sure I have single malt, Scottish whiskey. Most of the processing of whiskey, as far as I'm aware, is relatively traditional. They don't add loads of stuff. That's why it's so expensive. And I also reckon with spirits as well, if I would go out and have a dram of whiskey, that kind of lasts me all night. I'm not going to shot down a whole thing of whiskey because that stuff is strong. So I generally recommend high quality wine and then spirits not mixed with anything other than maybe soda water. Things like even tonic is actually really, really sweet. So often then mixing alcohol with something really sugary, that can sometimes be enough to dehydrate you and cause those blood sugar imbalances. So that tends to be my recommendation. And I would, you want to drink as little as possible. So for me, I would try, and when I was drinking, it would be maybe once, have a drink at the weekend, maybe a drink every 10 days, but I'm also aware of the patterns and expectations. So if you always have a drink on Friday and Saturday night, I encourage you just to mix that up and don't drink one Friday night. So instead of being in a habitual pattern with drinking, just have a more mindful approach where you go, you know what, I drink every Friday night. Okay, this Friday, I'm not going to drink. How does that make me feel? And you can do that while still drinking alcohol, but you have just a more mindful approach. Does that make sense? Where you're, and that's another option if you're like, no, Kezia, I don't feel like I need to scrap alcohol altogether, but just look at the patterns and the habits you have with alcohol. Every time you go out with friends, you drink. Every time you're in on a Saturday night, you drink. Every time you watch a movie, you drink. Every time you have a takeaway, you drink. These are all habits that you can just be more mindful of and go, you know what? I'm not going to have a beer when we have that Indian takeaway. Not because I can't, not because like it's my choice, but I'm just going to break that habit. Or Friday nights, you know what? I'm not going to have half a bottle of wine. I'm actually going to have some fizzy water or some kombucha or something else just to break that habit and be more mindful of when and why you drink. And you can do that without ditching alcohol. I just felt for me personally, I didn't drink very much anyway, so I may as well. That was just my general approach. It wasn't that big a deal, but you might drink more maybe than I did and it feels harder. So this would be a great middle ground where you look at your habits of drinking and think, okay, when in the week do I drink? I always drink when I'm stressed after work. I always drink on a Friday and a Saturday night and sometimes on a Sunday lunchtime. And these are the habits I have with alcohol. So let's just switch those up a little bit. I am not going to drink on Friday nights. And then you just make, instead of having a routine with alcohol, you create a more mindful, intuitive approach of, you know what, I am actually going out with the girls tonight and I've not seen them for ages, so I'm going to have some Prosecco. Instead of every time I see the girls, I get drunk and drink wine. And that's a really different approach. So that's a great option of just a more mindful drinking of, you know what, yeah, I do want to have a drink in the middle of the week. Yeah, that would feel really nice. And I'm maybe going to balance that out and not drink at the weekend. So I really recommend only having about one, maximum 2-3 servings of alcohol a week. So, and that's much less than the government guidelines. But I would say ideally one glass of wine or one whatever it is within a week. But you might be like, geez, okay, I drink a glass of wine a night. So I'm already, and more at the weekend. So I'm at about 10. Then you can just look at reducing at a way that feels realistic to you. But I really encourage you to have a mindful approach. Look at the routines you've created around alcohol and ask yourself, okay, how can I interrupt those? And just a little bit of interruption can really help expose this whole thing. So I hope that has been helpful. That is my current process with alcohol. I did a bit of myth busting, giving you some practical tips, but I'd love to hear from you. I know, talking about alcohol, our relationship with alcohol is quite emotional, can be quite fraught. You might feel actually really angry at me for bringing this up. You might not want to talk about it. You might not want to think about it. And all of that is actually really useful information that this is maybe a big deal. And so even if your one takeaway from this episode is there's no health benefits to drinking alcohol, alcohol is a drug and too much of it will poison your body. Like that's quite clear from the research. So what we then, the bigger picture is, okay, looking at and assessing our relationship with alcohol. Why do we drink? What are the routines we have around drinking? And how can we have a more mindful approach? Or is it something we need to look at just putting the pause button on for a while? If you have questions about this, let me know. You can head over to Instagram or Facebook at Supernaturally Healthy or Kezia Hall. And I'd love to hear from you guys. Otherwise, have an amazing week. Make sure you join me in the Adrenal and Thyroid Summit. And I will see you next week for another Gut Goddess Show episode. Bye.